I'm Pooja Disha Bharwani, founder and chief storyteller at What's the Story, a boutique communications consultancy based in Singapore. I love hearing, telling, and writing stories for individuals and businesses.
And my name is Kevin McSpadden. I'm the editor at E27. We are a media company covering startups and what they are up to in Southeast Asia.
On The Story of You, we want to offer a human and real conversation on how people succeed and overcome difficulties in the 21st century. Technology has changed the way we work and the ability for us to do things.
In this podcast, we bring you stories from successful individuals in Asia in a dynamic, engaging, and thought-provoking way.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 3 of The Story of You. Today, we speak with Lai Shan Ru, the co-founder at Shopback, a buying platform for customers to earn money. Shopback gives up to 30% cash to customers with the goal to boost their purchasing power while providing cost-effective marketing solutions to the merchant partners on their platform. All sounds really, really interesting and profitable for the consumer. We have Shan with us here today. Can you tell us in your own words, what is the concept and how exactly does it work?
Okay, so actually it's really very simple. You get paid to shop, basically. When you shop online on any of the 500 stores that we have on Shopback, you can actually earn a portion of your purchase back as cashback. So simply shop through us, you'll get your cashback. And that's the value that we provide to our consumers, to our merchants. It's more of being a channel, an effective marketing channel to bring them successful purchases and also at the same time do 360 marketing for them in a cost-effective manner.
Since I started working at E27, Shopback has been one of the more fun to watch companies in the startup space, because when I got here, there was some other kind of darling companies, Razor, Grab, Razor sort of, and Carousel. Mm-hmm. And then over the past year, it seems like Shopback has kind of gone from a regular startup, for lack of a better word, and grown into that one where now it is mentioned alongside specifically Carousel. I know you're not competitors, but in terms of when people say homegrown Singaporean startups that look like they're on the way to something, now Shopback has. And that's been about in the last year or so, it seems like to me. What's that been like internally for your team?
I think for us, we've experienced really huge growth in the last 3 years. I think more so, perhaps last year might have been more interesting because we launched Thailand, which was one pretty key market for Southeast Asia. And I think that was also, last year was also when Indonesia also started getting more news, and you know, Indonesia is like really a hot topic over here in this part of the region. So I would say we have been growing pretty well from the start, but I think last year was when we were a bit more in the news because of certain funding announcements as well, and also hiring certain more key personnel into our team. Yeah, it's been a really exciting past year.
Everyone talks about e-commerce in Southeast Asia, and we have so many issues in the various countries. There's logistics, there's the fact that the culture and people like to actually go to shops and feel their stuff. So is this, in a way, the fact your success and also other e-commerce players a signal that the time has actually come and people are ready to embrace commerce for their day-to-day needs as well as, you know, for shopping beyond? And what's your view on that?
I think definitely e-commerce is really booming in this part of the region. I mean, just looking at our Shopback customers, we actually see very frequent activity. I think also because we offer many different categories. So it's not like a regular e-commerce where, you know, maybe you're only selling fashion. But for us, you can actually purchase like travel, you can purchase fashion, electronics, even take Grab and Uber through our platform. So we actually are quite encouraged by the type of activity that we see and the types of merchants that people are actually purchasing from. So I mean, offline it's definitely going to be there and it's going to be a very important choice for consumers, but I think increasingly in this region, as logistics is improving, actually it's a lot more convenient to shop online, and sometimes the price points are really good compared to offline because they're trying to, you know, encourage more of that behavior. So we're really quite encouraged by the whole landscape of e-commerce in this region.
You guys had a particularly unique hurdle in terms of Singapore, because cashback before you guys started entering, and some other players before you started even considering the idea, was something that was just almost alien to, uh-huh. to how Singaporeans shop and work within the city compared to like the US specifically where yeah. like it seems like you've been getting cash back since the mid 70s. Yeah. So you're not introducing the idea. What's some advice for startups that are listening to this about you have a company and you're building a product, but you're also trying to shift the way people shop because the idea of cashback still, that was probably your biggest hurdle, at least yeah. in the beginning.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually. I think one of the key challenges we faced when we first started was the education piece about how our business actually works and how, even though it really sounds too good to be true, but it actually is legit. So we actually really focus a lot on trying to bring up the awareness, bring up the credibility through various channels, trying to reach out to different customer groups. We even called up customers at the start to try to find out what their pain points were and to actually just give them confidence that, hey, we're actually a human company, that yeah. it's not a scam. So really, marketing was very key, and we also focus a lot on our product as well, improving our product to make sure that it really delivers, because as long as, you know, people's cashback get tracked, they'll be like, hey, actually it works, I'm going to try it again. And when they can cash out, they're like, oh wow, it's really legit. So it was really a huge priority for both our product as well as the education piece through marketing.
What's some of the dive down into the strategies of convincing people that it's not a scam? I mean, I guess the first one is that let's say they get the pair of sneakers that they're like, wow, I got these for 50% off because of this. But the first one, they haven't got the sneakers yet, and you have to be like, trust me, in 2 months you're going to get the sneakers.
So I think we definitely had a few early believers that, you know, just simply tried it out, and from there it grew from there. I mean, I think we also used word of mouth referrals, so I think a lot of our early customers, they also helped us spread the word. We also made use of like social media, we engaged like influencers or ambassadors to actually try out our product and then speak about it. Yeah. And I think in Southeast Asia, a lot of countries are very social, so I think that helped to build a bit of that awareness as well.
So that is I wanted to ask you about that. You know, you built a brand from mm-hmm. scratch. It took mm-hmm. 4 years. Yes, mm-hmm. obviously you went through the whole getting funding and all. Mm-hmm. How do you actually start and grow? And now you're in the growth phase and mm-hmm. you're scaling. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that in terms of branding and telling your story in such a diverse market with so many challenges?
So I think in terms of our brand story, we've been pretty consistent in the key message where we really want to be the smarter way for customers to live, to shop, to travel, to basically do anything and to make more informed decisions. But I think how we look at branding in terms of different countries, it's also pretty different. We try to localize the message, perhaps in like Philippines where the e-commerce might not be as mature as say in Singapore, they might actually go down to also bringing out what exactly cashback means a bit more, but still within the same branding message of being the smarter way. Mm-hmm. So I think we give a lot of leeway and freedom for each country in a localized manner to basically educate on what our key message is and what's the best way to reach out to customers while still being under that whole umbrella of being the smarter way.
As we live in the age of the consumer, can you tell me some unique characteristics that you learned that you guys didn't know before, or you assumed something and then okay. after you started, you're like, oh wow, we didn't know this?
I think one thing off the top of my head was, so we all know that Southeast Asian customers are huge deal hunters. So they really love a good bargain, mm-hmm. they like cheap stuff, but yet it has to be like decently good quality, which is very demanding. So we actually thought that, you know, cashback when we first started would be just a walk in the park in terms of people would just jump on it because it's extra savings and it's just by just an extra click. But when we first started, then we realized that people actually found it too good to be true and then didn't quite believe that it was real. So that was something that actually was a bit surprising for us, but we found that out very quickly and then began all our education efforts and doing marketing that we actually had to go down to how we did it as well to explain a bit in simple terms how we make this happen so that people actually know that, you know, it's legit, it's actually sustainable. Yeah.
How quick can they get their money back? Because it's a bank transfer, right? Like,
yes, so they can actually cash out to their bank account or in some countries PayPal account, and recently also, like in Indonesia for example, they can cash out to their Pulsa, which is like a mobile reload. So how quickly, it really depends from merchant to merchant. I would say on average you have to wait maybe about 2 months, up to 2 months. Because how it works is that our merchants actually have to confirm that the purchase has not been returned or refunded or cancelled before they can tell us, like, hey, okay, this is a purchase that we will reward you a commission on, which from there we will actually give cash back to consumers. So it can't be as quick, but if merchants can confirm, then we can confirm, we can give the cash back faster.
So how do you make money?
That's a great question that I'm sure like everyone or a lot of our consumers want to find out more. So it's actually really simple. So how it works is that when customers shop through us and make a successful purchase, our merchants actually reward us with a commission of their purchase, and we keep a portion. That's how we make money. We give the rest back as cash back to our users. So super simple concept. Yeah.
Just a side thought, this whole, like, I guess once blockchain is more you know, used widely, it could revolutionize your transfer as well. Because 2 months is because you're relying on traditional merchant banking ways and PayPal. But anyway, I didn't realize it was 2 months. So you've expanded your R&D centers to Taiwan, Vietnam, and you're also expanding into Australia. So I just want to understand the reasoning of, especially Australia, not quite a mature market, I would say, for e-commerce, and also expensive to operate, you know. So how did you move out of the comfort zone of the Southeast Asia region, and then why did you all decide on that?
So Australia for us, it's very interesting because it's very mature market in terms of e-commerce, and I think the reason, put simply, was that when we looked at the type of e-commerce behavior, actually the transactions there are 3 times Indonesia, which is a huge market for Shopback. So it was pretty, it would be a really good idea to just go into it, especially because there's no language barrier as well, because they speak English, so it wouldn't be that difficult in that sense. But definitely we have to keep in mind the whole cost control, because I mean the cost of living there, the cost of people there is really high, so that's a new challenge that we have to be more aware of and to take into consideration.
How do you approach international expansion? That's, a lot of our listeners are Singaporean, and that's one of the biggest challenges is they have to enter Thailand when they're 6 months old, which is quite a burden to put on most companies. What was your strategy when you entered Thailand, Indonesia, now Australia?
So we have a very unified strategy in terms of how we look at expansion. So we strongly believe in localization. So usually what happens when we first want to start a country is that we'll actually go there and start to build a local team. So we'll start hiring, try to find people who are from that particular country, familiar with the consumer trends, how things work there, and find people who are culture fits with Shopback, who share our vision, our passion in trying to bring this product to more of Southeast Asia and the broader Asia, and work from there. So we strongly believe that, you know, having a local team is the way to go, because it would really reduce a lot of barriers of trying to understand how this market works, and it's more about trying to understand what practices have really worked for us in other countries and testing it when we actually go there with the local team.
But then you hire a local team, but you always have one person from HQ there to sort of
to start things. So after that, when the team is built up, we hire a country head, then we leave.
Okay.
And then we just do regular check-ins, weekly calls, that kind of thing. So we really give a lot of autonomy to the local team, and that's why we really place a huge importance on hiring the right people too, which is never easy.
Was there an interesting story about maybe like hitting a road bump as you were doing this process that might be enlightening to listeners?
Actually I had a personal experience. So I was part of the team that went to Philippines to try to start things up. So the timeline that I was given, both for myself and from the company, was okay, let's just start this up with a team in 6 months. Actually 3 months, but okay, if it extends 6 months. In the end, I ended up living there for a year, because it was not easy to find the right people. And even though there was always that temptation to just, okay, just let's just hire this person who seems not bad, even though we might have certain reservations, but through a few kind of culture misfit hires that we actually went through, and then we had to let go, we realized that, you know, we really cannot rush hiring. We just really have to cast our nets wide, really speak to as many people as possible to try to find the people with the right Shopback DNA to join our team. And if we can't find it, then we just have to try to get around it, reprioritize, work within a lean team before we find the right people. So
can you give me some characteristics? What is in the Shopback DNA?
I think one very important thing is grit. So being able to just just keep on doing what you're doing, trying to test, relearn, and not giving up. That's something really important because it's never easy starting up a new country or even trying to scale a country. So, I mean, even though it's so cliche, it's really something that we look for. Someone who says, you know, can't is not an option, which is one of our company's values, actually. And also really passion, because we can see someone who's really passionate about the product, who really believes that, you know, this can help consumers. It really makes a difference in how their attitude towards ShopBack. It's not just a job, but it's something that they really believe in.
Well, that's one of the interesting things that I've learned in my quote-unquote startup experience, because it's fun at first, and it's still fun. Well, it's fun, but it's a lot of work at first. But then I think something in the back of your head always assumes that the work is going to stop after 3 months and then it'll moderate. But then it doesn't, and it's like 6 months and 1 year, and it's a day in, day out kind of grind that some of the people that I think understand the day in, day out grind would be like fashion industry and professional athletes, where it's like you're tired, you're exhausted, and you still have to show up the next day and still perform at least within a certain
it's
variance.
Commitment, actually. There's like that hunger and commitment, I think, are the two things that anyone starting off, I mean, even when I was like trying to do my own thing, I was like, I slam, but I'm like, it's hard work, and you're just like, you gotta be hungry for it. And I think some people don't have that, and it's, I want to talk about this chief shopping officer, this job that you'll have actually posted on LinkedIn. And who's it for? Who's it targeted at? And what is the objective?
Yeah, I'm definitely the ignorant person that you need to pitch this to, because I don't quite get it.
So I'm super excited about this personally. So basically, we're looking for a chief shopping officer to hire for 2 months. So basically, we'll be giving this person $11,271 Sing dollars worth of shopping funds to basically shop at any of the 500 stores that we have, like Lazada, Shopee, Booking.com, SIA, and then basically whatever cashback that they earn will be theirs to keep as well. So I know it sounds too good to be true.
It's free money.
But why that figure, by the way?
So that figure is because it's the amount of cashback that our most active customer has earned to date.
Did you say 11,000 or
11,271?
And how long did it take that customer to earn that money?
Probably two plus years. But I think this customer is really an avid online shopper, to say the least. So I think it's just trying to highlight again the whole, linking back to the concept of how ShopBack and cashback sounds too good to be true, but it actually is legit. And this is how we're actually telling people out there, like, you know, we're really just giving this money out for you to shop. Just document how you do it and share it over a few videos. And
how do you choose your, you know, if you get an application, what are you looking for?
So we're
experienced e-commerce shopper.
I think number one, definitely that they have to be deal hunters, because I think that's what a lot of our customers want to kind of get better at or learn how to save more. So they need to have shopping experience, they need to be pretty adept at finding the best deals. Importantly, they need to be natural and be natural in front of the camera, because they have to actually document it, be relatively interesting to entice our more users to listen in, and just, it's more of an education.
So you're hiring an influencer at the same time, or you're making one in a way?
It's actually getting a normal person trying to just show how a normal person, like anyone, could actually use ShopBack and earn.
It's a very interesting concept.
Do you mind explaining the logic from the ShopBack perspective on why you would do this? Is it marketing? Is it business development? Is it...
So I think it's both marketing as well as trying to, again, build credibility and the education piece. So I think we never stop trying to educate customers, because there are always still going to be customers who don't fully understand about how this works or is this really legit. So it's an ongoing process that we're working on. So both marketing and also building credibility and trying to just get more word on ShopBack out there, because I think a few of my friends have already messaged me and said, like, hey, I heard about this. Like, what's this about? So, I mean, I think that's a good talking point. At least people are like, hey, this is, what's this ShopBack about? So, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Even for, like, I mean, come on, how much are you, like, you say seasoned e-commerce shopper, like,
you don't even spend 11,000 usually.
No, I hope not.
So application goes on 3rd March, I believe. So, Kevin, you can still apply.
I don't think I'm gonna make the cut. I am. My shopping habits are not up to those levels.
So it feels like, you know, this is like the ultimate era of consumer marketing where mm-hmm. consumers are in a way being paid now to buy products and to get mm-hmm. you have to pay them to get their attention because yes, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And in a way, more people seem to be joining this bandwagon, everything mm-hmm. in advertising. Yeah. And is this just absolutely the way forward? Referrals, in a way, are going to work better. The consumer telling the consumer, mm-hmm. buy this, mm-hmm. than you know, social media or yeah. any other sort of marketing.
You're definitely right in saying that, you know, companies are really trying to pay more these days. I mean, they have huge budgets in terms of marketing, in terms of advertising. Everyone's trying to pay more to get both new customers as well as retain loyal customers. And I think in terms, when you mentioned like referrals, I think that's a key important channel as well. But I mean, this day and age, you really need to maximize different channels to reach different types of customers. So I mean, some quick fact that I actually read up on, that it's actually easier, more likely to get struck by lightning than to get a conversion through a display ad. So you know, companies are really spending huge amounts on marketing, and sometimes it might not be the most effective way of trying to reach out to a customer. And I think that's where ShopBack, at least we come in and we provide value to our merchants in terms of being more cost effective, because you know, you only pay us when the customer actually makes a transaction. So it's not going to be like maybe an outdoor billboard that costs $1 million and then people just see it and don't act on it. Yeah. So I think we're just trying to see how better relevant we can be to our merchants, and to help them, you know, make more money or make more loyal customers out of whatever budgets that they have.
So this is another status symbol for startups, in the sense that you now have a big foreign company entering the market in somewhat similar space. Snapcart entered Singapore, I think, like 3 days ago or something. And so now, at least to the outside perspective, it suddenly feels like you have a big, well-funded competitor in our own market.
Yeah.
What are your general thoughts on Snapcart coming?
We recognize that they might seem like a sort of competitor to the consumer, but to be honest, the way the customer journey works, how they actually get cashback, is pretty different. Also, they're playing more in terms of offline spend, whereas we are largely actually pretty much in the online or digital space. So in that sense, there are some differences. So we're not too concerned, but again, I think them coming in is also a kind of a validation that this is a market that is very valuable, and which we have already established a pretty strong presence in. So we're encouraged by it. So we always welcome so-called competition, and I think ultimately we still view ourselves as our biggest competitor, that we really need to keep on improving, innovating, bringing a better product to our customers in order to stay relevant.
Yeah, steel strengthens steel, and I think a lot of companies wouldn't even exist without their competitors.
Yeah. So 6 months from now, what are your plans? Where, you know, let's talk scaling, expansion, what's on the agenda?
I think definitely you'll see us in Australia. I mean, we spoke about that earlier, so we would have launched in Australia. I think also trying to ramp up marketing efforts in the countries that we're already in, the six countries we're in, to further establish our stronghold and reach out to more customers. I think on the product front, you'll probably see us marketing a bit more some of our newer features, like our rights comparison feature, where actually we help you to compare prices between like Grab, Uber, Ride, and then help you find the cheapest ride, and then give you cashback on top of that. So really trying to shout out more about some of the new features that we have launched in the recent months, and trying to get more people to use it, actually benefit from these new products and features.
So in hindsight, what's some of the biggest lessons you learned during this whole entrepreneurial journey yourself, and maybe something that you would impart onto a 19-year-old college student who happened to find this and is listening with rapt attention?
I think definitely to focus on people when you're trying to start up something. I think that has been a recurring theme since the start, trying to hire the right people who actually hold the same values, same passion, because the journey is not an easy one. So you really need a team of good people alongside you. And even as you grow, people still remain so important, because you want to find people who can grow with the business, who can adapt to the changing needs, and who will stay with you throughout the journey. I think really people are still super important, and that's something I would strongly advise any young entrepreneurs who are trying to start up to really make sure that, you know, they find a team of people who are like-minded but yet have complementary skills, and people that, you know, they can really go through ups and downs with in their business journey.
You're basically a young Asian woman in tech. How has it been? Have you faced some resistance sometimes? Been in an environment where it's a room full of men, and mm-hmm. to like sort of go the extra mile to stand out, to say what you want to say. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah, sure. So I think luckily for me, I have not actually faced any sort of discrimination being a female in my work so far at ShopBack or in e-commerce. So that's something that's really fortunate. I think also in ShopBack, actually there's like about 50-50 gender ratio. So I would say that it's not a fully male dominated industry, and I think that's great because, I mean, diversity is celebrated. So yeah, even in meeting, say, business partners or even merchants, never come across being disadvantaged in the sense of being a woman. At most, it would be some surprise that I'm so young, because sometimes I'm meeting guys or ladies who are like in their 40s, 50s, and I'm like a young kid coming in. But hopefully I can, you know, gain their trust in other ways.
So is that hard, like, you know, trying to, when as you're like a millennial and then you see an older, more experienced person, yeah. how do you develop that trust from them and make them take you seriously?
Yeah, so sometimes, so usually I would just try to, you know, obviously be mature, speak the facts, share my experiences to actually let them know that, you know, even though I'm young, I've actually gone through various experiences and roles, and I have some measure of knowledge. Of course, I wouldn't say that I could measure up to them. And let's say they are not very convinced, sometimes I would bring other teammates as well to kind of have a more like an army of people to really show that, you know, hey, we do have a great team, and we are not, we're legit, and they can trust us, you know. Bringing in customer stories as well also helps. Yeah,
great. Now shall we do the rapid fire? So YouTube or Netflix?
YouTube. Wait, why?
Sorry, YouTube is just easier to and shorter, because I'm someone who's quite pressed for time. So usually Netflix is like at least like half an hour, 45 minutes, and I tend to get really addicted to shows once I start. So I think YouTube, at least in bite-sized portions, I can just watch a bit and then carry on with my day or go to sleep and stuff like that. Yeah.
Amazon or Lazada?
Lazada.
Boutique or high street brand?
Boutique.
Alexa or Google Home?
Google Home for sure.
Android or iPhone?
Android.
Really? Okay, another
one. Okay, that was like, that was really quick. Okay, please explain.
So I'm, I actually used Apple before, and I had an iPhone, a MacBook, and then I think in like 5 years ago, I switched to Android, and I really loved it in terms of the whole mobile experience. Actually, I was using Google phones, so Google Android, and I really liked how it was more seamless, it was smarter, and recently I got my Google Home as well, so I really loved it, and really an Android convert in that sense, yeah.
Spotify or iTunes?
Spotify.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. Thank you so much, Anru, for joining us today telling us about your journey in the e-commerce industry and how ShopBack has grown, and also we got to know you really well. Thank you for being so personable.
Welcome, and it's really my pleasure being here with the both of you.